Hello, everyone. This is your station, 88.9 KETR. This is KETR's Locker Room. I am your host, Ryan Billups, with my co-host here, Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps. Today, we have a lot of good topics for you. We're going to talk Rangers. We're going to talk a little bit of a controversial topic. We're going to talk a little playoff basketball, and we'll finish off with the Cowboys. So let's start us off, guys. Controversial topic of the week is, should fans be verbally abusing Josh Hamilton's wife and kids? A story came out this last week when, I guess it was a Friday game against the Angels. It was our first one, and Katie Hamilton, Josh Hamilton's wife, sat in the, you know, just regular seats where any fan could sit.
Yeah.
And apparently she had to call security. No one was thrown out. She didn't even switch seats after that. Mm-hmm. And that's really all we know.
Right. Well, she called security because they were supposedly fans were yelling cuss words and talking about Josh being on steroids, stuff like that, at her kids. And the kids, she just really didn't want her kids to hear that kind of stuff. So I think, she may have been a little bit worried for her safety, but I think more than anything, she was just like, hey, you know, can you stop dropping F-bombs around my kids? And they were like, no, F you, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's probably what happened.
And to be honest, if anything, this just makes Josh Hamilton know that he made the right decision.
Right.
This looks bad on Rangers fans. Mm-hmm. And he's just sitting there saying, well, you know what? If you're going to yell that at my kids after what I've done here, brought you to two World Series,
then
I made the right choice. I should have gone for the money.
But we also don't know what happened. All we know is that, I mean, no one was thrown out. I mean, here's the thing. For all we know, the fans could have been yelling things about Josh Hamilton. They could have been, you know, I don't have any problem with them yelling at Josh Hamilton. Everybody in the stadium was yelling at Josh Hamilton. If they're saying bad things, she needs to know that's going to happen.
Right.
My thing is, why was she sitting out there where anybody can sit? She should have been in a box suite.
She should have protected herself.
And I think putting her three daughters, I think the oldest daughter is 14, so putting her three daughters out there with knowing that that's going to, I mean, you know that they're going to be yelling at,
yeah,
they're going to, all everybody in the stadium is going to be yelling at Josh, saying bad things about him, you know, calling him a crackhead, whatever else. I think that's a bad parenting decision on their part by putting their kids out there for that to happen.
I do think Josh Hamilton's in the wrong, but at the same time, I'm going to blame the fans a little bit for this. I think that while they're upset that Josh Hamilton left, and they have a right to be, they don't need to take it out on the family.
If they did yell directly at Katie and her daughters, then that's wrong. They should not have done that. But I also think any stadium in the United States would have done the exact same thing.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen the same thing with LeBron.
That's why I think it's just the everyday fan. I mean, that's just going to happen. You get some beers in you and get out there and start drinking. And
you don't really care
all
anymore.
All of a sudden, you just start, you know, you're emotional about the game, about what happened. I think that the heavy of it falls on the Hamiltons.
Yeah, I think, honestly, they've probably heard worse at other stadiums, too. Like, if they went to the Bronx, listen to the Yankees.
I've been to
a Yankees stadium game, like in the Yankee stadium, in the old Yankee stadium. And that was a rough experience. Great, awesome experience to be in the ballpark in the house that Ruth built. But we were at a White Sox game, and you were still hearing, F the Red Sox, the Red Sox suck, all this stuff. And like, I was there.
I've been in Fenway, and it's the same way with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I was there with a youth group. And so the head of the youth group that was there, like the youth minister, was like, well, this isn't going to happen for very long. So he got those guys thrown out that were dropping F-bombs, because there was like 100 of us all sitting together. So it's a little bit different than, you know, one family.
Right.
But
yeah, you know, they should have been in a suite. I think that's the moral of the story here.
And they are after that game.
And they were. They were in the next two. And they said the reason they didn't on Friday is because they were sold out.
Yeah, they were sold out of suites.
That's bogus. I believe that they were sold out, but as soon as he signed with the Angels, he should have looked at the Rangers schedule
and bought a suite.
And immediately bought a suite.
Or not taking his family to the game.
Or, yeah, just
his family
maybe
doesn't have to go to the game.
Maybe just skip that Friday game.
Right.
Kids should be in school anyways.
And they actually still do have a house in Dallas, and they're planning to keep it. They're planning to keep that family tie. Like, the girls have their friends with the other Rangers' wives and stuff. So they're still planning to be involved in Dallas.
Yes, I think they could, and you're telling me they couldn't have gotten a suite. You're telling me there wasn't one person.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, Josh played there for years, brought him to two World Series. You're telling me there's not one person that would have let Josh's wife and kids sit in the suite with him.
Yeah.
That is true.
They just did not. There's no way Josh shouldn't have expected what happened.
Mm-hmm.
shouldn't have expected, you know, the outcry of boos and all that from him. But maybe he's just delusional. Is he that, does seem that way in press conferences.
Is he that naive? When he talks, he almost acts like we shouldn't be upset with him. Like we shouldn't be
angry.
Like
he's surprised we booed him. Like,
just because he brought us to two World Series, he didn't win them, first of all.
Right. No, and he performed terribly in the last playoff.
Exactly. So he acts like we should be praising him when really we should be upset with him. Right. But he just doesn't see it that way.
Yeah. And then that's another thing. Should the fans have booed, or should they have done that, you know, be silent for Josh thing? I think that would have been the coolest thing ever.
It would have been cool, but at the same time, it obviously affected him. The boos obviously got to him, so I have no problem. The only thing that bothers me is you see on the stands, they're showing, I watched it on TV, and they showed clips of some people doing the silent thing and then some people booing. Well, the silent thing doesn't work if some,
I'd rather have, can't even hear the silence.
Yeah, one person yelling, it ruins the silence.
Yeah, yeah, I'd rather have everybody booing than, and so that's the problem with the silent thing, is I'd rather it be an outcry of boos than, you know, half boos, half silence. So.
But something's definitely bothering Hamilton because he hasn't been playing that well. He's averaging 156 is batting average.
And that's really bad.
He's only got four RBIs, no home runs. I forgot, what did he do when he came the first game? Didn't he strike out like four times?
The first two games he struck out. Then he went 3 for 5 in the last game.
He did play well in the last game, which was a night game, and he has played better in those.
Like consistently throughout his whole career.
But I honestly think we were in his head. I think the whole situation's in his head.
Definitely.
And, I think he's just a very mentally weak player.
And it could all go back to the things we've talked about before. Maybe he was on Ritalin back when he said he was on caffeine with quotation marks, and he had too much caffeine. That the same effects, and I'm not a doctor, and this is all speculation that I've heard, so don't take my medical advice as word.
Dr. Cooper.
Dr. Cooper is here. But I've heard that the effects of getting off of Ritalin suddenly, you know, like, when a drug test is coming up, is the same effects as having a heck of a lot of caffeine and then not having it for a few days. So,
if that would explain his inconsistency at the bat, and
how bad he was in May and in the postseason.
Right.
I mean, not in May, because he was awesome in May. He had that four.
That would explain his eyes drying up and
explain all of it.
It explains every last bit of it.
And if he's not on it now.
That also explained it. So if he feels heat, like he's going to get a drug test, obviously he's not going to be on it. Ritalin, if you don't know, makes you focus. It makes everything slow down. So that pitch didn't come in nearly as fast at you. You're able to see it better. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he was on it, then he's able. I mean, that explains his incredible start to the season last year.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on a little bit from just Josh Hamilton and talk about the Rangers in general and the division.
Okay.
Right now they're in second. And the Angels are in last. So
that's always great.
What are we thinking? I know we've only like 10, most teams are 9-10 games into the season. But what are we thinking as far as how we've been surprised really at this outcome that the Rangers have shown us these first couple
weeks?
I
really have been surprised with the Rangers, positively surprised.
Right.
With their pitching though. Not really anything else. Their pitching has really surprised me though.
They're third in ERA and 7th in quality starts right now, which is very good.
Their starting pitchers are playing lights out, minus Matt Harrison, who's supposed to be, you know, our first second pitcher.
Yeah, and now he's on the DL.
Now he's on the DL with two backs, so I'm sure he'll come back and play fine the rest of the year. But as far as who's going to challenge the Rangers the most for this division title, honestly, going into the season, I thought the Angels, but looking at it, you know, I mean, we're only, you know, 9-10 games in the season. I'd have to say
with 150
Oakland.
Left.
Yeah. I
still think Oakland. Yeah.
I think Oakland. I mean, they're starting off. They start off. They're first in the division. They're looking really sharp.
They have more runs scored and less allowed than the Rangers do.
Yeah. And you look at the Angels. They put up a ton of runs, but they're also going to give up a ton of runs. Their pitching is just really
poor. Think, though, that they have I really think they have a good chance of still challenging because then they're going to start getting things rolling. You've already seen, like we talked about, Josh Hamilton starting to come back into form.
Yeah, and Pujols is having a great year already.
He's already started off well.
So
I'm
just seeing that I think that the Angels can recover four games very quickly. They can shoot right back up into the top of the standings like nothing.
Well, we saw the A's gum up 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
5 games right at the end of the season. So
in baseball, things can change so quickly, especially if teams are hot at the beginning of the season and they just drop off.
Right. Well, let's look at some of our starting pitchers, and we talked about how they've kind of been our surprise. Obviously, we have Yu Darvish, who's been our
ace.
Definitely our ace of our team. He's 2-0, Alexi Ogando has been a big surprise to me. He's also started 2-0, and they both have an ERA of 2.0 or below. I think Alexi Ogando's is 0.77.
So, which is insane.
He is just starting off incredible right now.
Yeah.
You know, they both have more than 12 strikeouts. Playing well. But let's not forget Holland, too. Derek Holland, he's kind of had some bad luck. He started with 2 no decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only given up 2 earned runs in each of those 2 games.
Yeah, that's very good.
Those are great. If he can play like that all year long, we are going to have a great team.
He's just had the bad luck offensively in his games.
Yeah, they just didn't put up runs in the games.
Like Darvish has had 2 huge offensive outpourings from the Rangers, which makes it easier to pitch well.
Yeah, you don't have all the pressure on you. But, and then don't forget about Tepish. Tepish came in as our 5th starter. Mm-hmm. I mean, just great game. He came out of nowhere. First career start as our 5th pitcher.
Yeah.
He went 7 1/3 inning and only gave up 1 earned run.
And had several strikeouts.
Only 4 hits.
Yeah, and so if he can play even anywhere close to that the rest of the season, or at least until Colby Lewis is back into form, this team, don't sleep on them. They're good quality team.
He had 5 strikeouts too. I mean, the pitching has been incredible for the Rangers this year.
And then, I mean, just think about who else we have coming back. We've got Nathan, who's over 300 career saves now, doing really good there. Although, I mean, you know, one of them was a controversial that should have been a walk. But whatever, we'll ignore that because the umps ignored it. but then we've got Soria, who we picked up from the Royals, who was probably the third best career wise in saves.
He'll probably be Nathan's setup guy.
Yeah,
I mean
he'll be the 8th inning specialist.
That'll give Nathan some rest days.
Yeah, and we've got Robbie Ross. We'll have Neftali Feliz coming back. I mean, we've got pitching set up.
We have possibly Ogando going back to the bullpen whenever Harrison and Lewis come
and
back.
Martin Perez.
That's a really, really good starting and bullpen.
Yeah, I think everyone forgot how good of our pitching was because everyone's freaking out because we don't have a good offense anymore. And we really do have a good offense, too. I mean, we're still, I think, on paper, top 5 offense.
I think adding Berkman and A.J. Pruszynski were huge moves. Berkman's hitting .480 right now. And I think
Pruszynski's in the 400s, too.
Yeah, Pruszynski's our 3rd best hitter right now. He's hitting .333. He dropped a little bit after last game.
Right.
But, I mean, Berkman's already walked 7 times, and I think that has
his on-base percentage is ridiculous.
Incredible, and that is huge for the Rangers because we've always been good at running the bases, and that's one of our – I think Dave Magadan, our new hitting coach, has done a great job with getting our guys to take pitches and just being real smart at the plate, so – great ads for the Rangers so far.
But to be honest, if you noticed when we were talking about the Rangers before the season, we were always focused on the batting.
Yeah.
We were focused on losing
Hamilton and Napoli.
Well, we were worried about it all, honestly. We were worried about the pitching, too, because
on it as much.
True.
We didn't think pitching would save us.
True.
And right now,
and we also didn't focus on the Angels' lack of pitching. They lost Zach Greinke, they lost Dan Herron, and now they've lost Jared Weaver for 15 days, too. Right. So who's their pitching? Who do they have?
They have CJ. That's it.
Yeah. Whoa, CJ Wilson.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I have heard a lot of controversy, though, and I want to see what you guys think about this, Ian Kinsler being the leadoff batter.
Right.
What do you guys think about... I mean, he's been hitting well, and I think people haven't been paying attention to the stats,
hitting the way he's hitting right now, I have no problem with it. He's walked 5 times, which is great for a leadoff guy.
Yeah.
I think he's hitting .286, 3 home runs. I mean, those are solid numbers. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I think it's all pretty good so far.
When you look at their batting averages, it's just from .480 to .353, .333, .308, .286. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
So really, all good news surrounding the Rangers right now, and Nolan Ryan staying with the Rangers.
The best news possible.
That's awesome. I mean, it is so good to keep him here, and just even if he's just the face, it's really positive to have him, and he gives a lot of experience to those young pitchers, and they come to him for advice. So it's good to have a guy like that in our program.
But it's a long season, so keep your fingers crossed.
I think he's here at least till the end of the season, especially if they make the playoffs and have a deep run. I think he stays. Now, if they don't make the playoffs, I think Ron Washington's job is in trouble. I think old John Daniels' job is in trouble. And Nolan Ryan for sure would be gone. He'll still be part of the ownership group now.
Yeah.
that's something we don't need to forget. Even if he's not the CEO anymore, he still owns part of the team.
Right.
So he still makes decisions. He's just not paid to make decisions anymore.
Right.
All right. Well, that's going to about do it for us on this first segment. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're going to talk Cowboys and the draft situation. And then we'll finish off the show with playoff basketball. So here we go, guys. We're KETR's Locker Room.
Join KETR on Tuesday for a live interview with Olympic gold medalists Ryan Lochte and Misty May Traynor. These athletes will be on the A&M Commerce campus for a speaking engagement along with Sonia Richards-Ross on Tuesday night at 8 in Ferguson Auditorium. Listen to KETR's exclusive interview with Ryan Lochte and Misty May Traynor live on Tuesday afternoon at 4:30, only on your station, 88.9 KETR. Didn't get to hear a Fresh Air interview you really wanted to catch? Fear not. Fresh Air Weekend gives you a second chance to hear our most entertaining conversations with actors, writers, filmmakers, and musicians. Interviews and reviews you don't want to miss on Fresh Air Weekend. Weekend is coming soon. Coming up Saturday afternoon at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Taylor Phelps with my co-hosts Ryan Billups and Cooper Welch. We're going to start off talking about a little Cowboys. I guess it's always drama when you're talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah, definitely.
But we're going to talk about the draft a little bit and just see what they need. I'm thinking offensive tackle, offensive guard, center, anything on the offensive line. But it just doesn't appear that that's the direction the Cowboys are looking. A lot of mock drafts have us taking safeties like Kenny Vaccaro in the first round from Texas. Or, I don't know, Cooper, you were mentioning a few other people earlier today.
Defensive tackle, Sylvester Williams. I mean, there's a couple different options. But how frustrating is that to y'all?
It's because very frustrating as a fan to watch a team that has struggled so much at the offensive line, from penalties to sacks, giving up sacks, to Romo running for his life.
But I mean, let's not mark them out yet, because obviously they haven't not picked an offensive lineman yet.
Right.
But here's my reasoning is obviously they're trying to win now because they signed Tony Romo to that long extension. That proved right then that they weren't trying to build for the future. They're trying to win now. If that's the case, if you don't fix the offensive line, you're not going to win. And so taking an offensive lineman in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round is not going to help you right now.
And before the show, we were discussing trading up draft picks just to get the best person. A lot of people have DJ Fluker going right after the Cowboys pick, which is a great offensive tackle from Alabama.
I think the Cowboys, if they're going to try to win now, the only offensive linemen that are going to be ready to play right now are those first round, maybe second round guys. And so if you don't take a couple offensive linemen in those first two rounds, then besides that, chances are they're going to be developmental.
I mean, this past season, we were 31st in rushing yards.
That's horrible.
We have a great
running back.
Yeah,
we have
a few good running backs. From DeMarco Murray and Felix Jones, we're fine at the running back position.
And if you look at sacks, we're one of the teams that gives up a lot of sacks.
Unless your name is Adrian Peterson, you can't take on a whole defense by yourself. You need offensive line to open the holes up for you to be able to make a move.
Yeah, and DeMarco Murray really needs that help.
Oh, he does. And I don't think DeMarco Murray, don't get me wrong, I don't think he's just the best running back in football, but he's a solid running back.
He's a very solid player.
And here's the thing. The Cowboys are looking at defensive tackle, defensive end, safety.
And safeties.
Those are all need positions. I don't want y'all to misunderstand that. We definitely need those positions.
But what do you need the most? What's going to make you the most successful?
The thing that's going to take us to the next level the quickest is our offensive line protection. Mm-hmm. Tony Romo is running for his life back there. That causes a lot of turnovers. That's one issue. Obviously, we're not running the ball well, which also leads to a lot of turnovers because we're having to throw 40 times, 50 times a game. And anytime you do that, I mean, you're just one-dimensional, and that'll cause a lot of problems.
We were 22nd in opposing rushing yards and 19th in opposing passing yards. So
and that's
we weren't doing well. We do need defensive players.
That's not great. But think about how injured we were.
Well,
last
we have
year.
To put points on the board. Last year, we started off the season with 17, 7, 10, and 18. That's not going to win football games.
I mean, half of our starters were injured the second half of last season. So I think those numbers are a little exaggerated.
I
think we probably would have been more near the middle of the pack, 14, 15th area.
The highest points we scored last year was 38 twice, and those were in wins. You have to score that much. You need to score over 20. You need to score over 25 points to win games.
That's true.
Unless you just have a dominating defense. I mean, there's very few teams who have such a good defense.
We saw the Bears back when they had Rex Grossman. They had a dominating defense.
Right.
But we do not. We will not have that, and we will not be able to have that through the draft or through free agency.
That's just not going to happen this season. I think the best way to improve this team the quickest is to, I don't care, even if we have to trade up to get the offensive lineman that we want, I think it's necessary.
You got
to
put the best offense on the field that we can and just see what we can do with our D.
Well, let's talk about who we've got in both offensive tackles and guards. Who's the possible that the Cowboys could get? If they go at 18th, they could get DJ Fluker. If they trade up, they could go after Lane Johnson, who's from Oklahoma. He's a tackle that's 6'6", weighs 303 pounds. He's the 10th overall ranked player in this year's draft, and he's the number 3 offensive tackle. Now, if we really wanted to trade up and get the number 2 or the number 1 overall pick, Luke Jokel from A&M, insane player.
He's
ranked
stud.
Number 1 overall in the both as an offensive tackle and in the draft, number 1 overall. And Eric Fisher is number 2 as offensive tackle and number 2 overall rank. He's from Central Michigan.
I think it'd be cool to trade up. I don't know if it's worth it. I'd like to see us go
I don't
after.
Know if we could get enough.
Yeah, I'd like to see us. Them. I think we could move up to this area, and I'd like to see us get a Jonathan Cooper, maybe, of North Carolina, Chance Warmack of Alabama.
Right.
Chance Warmack is the one that I see as being our best potential to be able to move up and get, and
Warmack,
he's from Alabama also.
Warmack right now, he's ranked 8th overall and 1st in offensive guards. Now, they're saying, Mel Kiper is saying that...
I just feel like you cannot go wrong with a lineman from Alabama. Just look at how they just crushed everyone they played.
And I don't think we'd have to move up that much. I honestly think if we could get up to maybe 10? That 10th spot to jump San Diego, I think we could get him.
Because they're saying that one of the two, Jonathan Cooper or Chance Warmack, will drop to 10th or 11th.
And historically, offensive guards have dropped in the draft. And they always are higher than you think, and then they'll drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to move up at terrible amount to get one of those guys. I think that 10th spot's real reasonable for us.
Right. Well, let's just cover who's going to go and the offensive tackles and guards that are expected to go in the top 10. Right now, we've got Luke Jokel going number 1 overall to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they need an offensive lineman for sure. Then we've got Eric Fisher going 7th to the Cardinals, Jonathan Cooper going 8th to the Bills, which is definitely a big improvement for them. Chance Warmack going 10th to the Titans, and then the Chargers would get Lane Johnson in the 11th overall. So that's 5 offensive tackle. Oh, and 12th would be DJ Fluker. So that's 6 offensive tackles or guards in the first 12 picks. So that's a lot of offensive depth gone right there.
Right, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think that's why
I don't think that's why I don't even think we'd have to move to get one of those guys.
Okay,
I think one of those could potentially drop to us. I think it's just that's too many, and not that many teams are going to take an offensive guard or tackle in the first round.
I think that's why the Cowboys are looking at a defensive player, because they're sitting there saying, well, we can get the best defensive player in the draft because everyone else is taking offensive players. But that's because they need offense. We need offense too, so we need to figure out what's the best way we can get an offensive lineman.
And I don't mind the Cowboys covering their bases just in case something does happen. Everybody drops out. Yeah, we need to take the best guy on the board, and that's fine. Go look at our safeties. Go look at defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. But if the guy is available, I'm going to be very frustrated with Mr. Jerry Jones.
Well, what about this? What if
we don't take
for
him?
For our defensive problems, maybe we take a shot on Tyrone Mathieu late in the draft.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that guy was a great defensive player LSU.
I have no problem with that.
I would love that risk.
And Jerry Jones does have a track record of taking risks.
Oh yeah, definitely. And
you know,
that's
old
one.
Tank Williams.
And not
Pac-Man.
All of those have been busts. I know they've all kind of ended up ugly, but T.O. was
for 2 years was the best receiver in football with the Cowboys.
Very
I think
productive player for our team. Pac-Man didn't work out. Tank was a decent player for a while. I mean, I would love to see, especially with
the Tyrone
young guy
too, is a completely different story because he's coming into the draft. He would be more grateful, I think, than those players because he hasn't made a career of himself yet.
Right. He's not going to get that guaranteed money to mess up. He's going to have to earn it.
So he's going to be a low. It's a high risk, low risk because you're not going to have to pay him very much, but the reward could be outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, let's talk what we think is most likely, though. Not what we'd want to see, but what we think is going to happen. Right now, I think the Cowboys are going to go either defensive tackle Sylvester Williams at 18th overall. He's a defensive tackle from North Carolina. Or they'll go Vaccaro. They should go offensive lineman or, you know,
but
anywhere.
That's what all the professionals are.
Yeah, McShay, Kuiper. They're saying that they're going to go
the ones
Williams
with the no.
Carl. Yeah.
The ones with the no are the ones that are saying that.
But in the second round, I'm hearing reports that the Cowboys would select Justin Pugh, who's
I love that pick.
Yeah, an offensive lineman from Syracuse with a 47th overall pick, which is pretty reasonable. You won't have to pay him a lot of money in the second round.
And he's a first-round guy.
Yeah.
The
only reason he's going to drop that far, they think, is because he has a significant injury risk. He did miss a lot of games in his career at Syracuse. But everything else on his grades is higher than Luke Jokel. I mean,
right. He's
a great player.
I love that pick. If we could snag that guy, even move up in the second round to make sure we get him, I think that'd be a huge, huge, huge pick.
We're probably going to see Jerry Jones trade up this year instead of trade down, which is what he did in a lot of drafts. And I really do think that's probably the better idea because we need to trade up this year.
Trading down.
And he has traded down in the past, and it gets us nowhere.
It's nowhere. Yeah. I think there is situations where it's good to trade down, but
if you want to be good
now,
if you want to be good now, you got to trade up.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you completely. We I think this is a great example of a draft where we might have to. I think this is what's going to happen. They're going to start seeing how the offensive linemen start dropping off the board.
Mm-hmm.
And if all that's left is Chance Warmack
Jonathan Cooper.
Or Jonathan Cooper, by the time like 10, 11, 12 gets around, that's when you have to start moving up. If those guys are both still there come 11, 12, I think you sit it out and I think you get them.
But that's also if that's in the mind of the management, if they're even thinking offensive linemen. What if they're just set on Kenny Vaccaro or defensive tackle?
There is no way they're happy with Doug Free. Am I alone there?
Yeah.
There's just no way that they're happy with our offensive lineman situation.
Well, now you do have to remember that this is Jerry Jones, who is such a bad general manager that
he is.
The entire 2009 draft stock is completely gone. That's terrible.
Yeah, it was true.
Anyone else in the NFL that did that, or in any organization that did that, MLB, hockey, whatever,
gone. But he owns himself.
But he owns himself.
Well, since we're talking about Jerry Jones, I just want to move on from that subject and just let you guys know about a little NBA action.
Yeah, let's do that real quick.
The Heat have clinched, and I think all the Eastern Conference teams are set for the playoffs.
The only one that could switch is Chicago and Atlanta.
And it could.
They could switch.
It's very likely
they're tied right
too.
Now.
And sadly, the Mavericks are done. Season
they clinched
over.
Too.
They clinched the lottery draft.
Yeah.
But the final race is between the Lakers and Utah, and it's coming down to.
It's very close.
I know we posted a question on our Facebook page asking who you thought was going to win. I think Utah's up right now, so we'll see.
Utah's supposed to win, but the Lakers are a game ahead of the Utah Jazz
right
now. And
Pau Gasol is playing very well.
And so it's in their own hands. If they win out, they're in. They just can't tie. If they tie, Utah gets it.
So the Lakers need to win out.
That's one scary thing about this whole situation. I don't think the Lakers overall are good enough to make the playoffs, but I think Kobe Bryant is good enough overall.
Kobe Bryant's good enough to do a lot.
Now, I think that's probably the scariest position you can be in the NBA when Kobe suddenly has to do it all by himself.
Yeah,
because
he
scored 81 points against the Raptors. He has great games when he has the flu. Kobe Bryant is a monster, and you do not want him pissed off and ready to win.
Well, let me ask you, Cooper, as a San Antonio Spurs fan,
right.
Which you are, unfortunately.
Would you rather see Utah or L.A.?
I would love to see Utah over L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, but let me ask you this. Let's say the Lakers get in, Utah doesn't. Would you rather... Because right now, you guys and Oklahoma City are tied for first.
City has the tiebreaker.
So would you rather play Houston or L.A. Lakers?
Houston. You'd rather play Spurs would beat Houston 3-1.
Two experts today on ESPN picked Utah. I mean, the Lakers to beat the Spurs if they were to match.
Well,
up.
Now one of them was Magic Johnson. He's always going to pick the
Lakers.
That's
true. And I think Chris Broussard was the other.
Yeah, so. And I don't trust Chris Broussard for anything.
Not at all.
But anyway,
I think that'd be a great matchup.
Yeah,
I think the Lakers would lose to Oklahoma City. I think they'd win against San Antonio. I really do.
Okay. Well, that's about going to do it for us this week. We're going to be back on Tuesday. Have some pretty exciting stuff coming up. We're talking to Ryan Lochte and Misty May Traynor and maybe Sonya Richards-Ross.
Pretty cool stuff.
It's going to be a special edition podcast. We're going to do a little podcast before at our normal scheduled time. It'll come out at 2. But then we'll have that special interview come out around 5 o'clock. So be sure to stay tuned to our Facebook page and to KETR. Great stuff. You don't want to miss out. All right, this is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
Taylor Phelps.
And Ryan Billups.
Thank you so much for listening.